It's just about a minute after 8 o'clock, a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show, but a special edition because it's American Business Women's Day, and one of the most successful stories that I know of is our very own Laureen Gilbert. She's the president and CEO, the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, in for the Wealthwise moment. Good morning, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Thank you. Didn't even realize it was we were celebrating that day, but thank you very much.
I thank you very much. And it is a it is certainly a day to celebrate. And no kidding, all morning long we've been talking about women that have succeeded in areas that's really been a good old boy network for a long time. And I consider you one of those very successful women. So congratulations, and we honor you today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, the wealth management and even just the financial services sector has been male-dominated for a long time, but, you know, things are hopefully improving and changing.
Right. You're chipping away at the big granite stone, and that's how
right.
I put it this morning. So congratulations and enjoy your day today. I'll start you off with the question I think we've all been asking. We were all rolling through thinking, okay, stock market's doing great. And then Monday happened. Monday stock market, kind of a little crash there. And it happened mainly because there was a big sell-off for Evergrande, which is a Chinese real estate company. I'd love for you to explain how our market can be so tied into a Chinese real estate company.
Well, for many investors, Monday was the first day they had heard the name Evergrande. However, this story has been in the news for months. So it's been percolating, and we knew that it was a growing concern. And now we know that Evergrande is Nevergrande. And the tone has shifted. So this is a real estate development company, and they had many different ties. And so let's just put this in perspective. In the Chinese market, 20% of their GDP comes from properties. So it's a huge part of China's GDP. And we know that just as we've been talking about the U.S., GDP kind of peaking, so had China's, and we knew we were heading into more of a slowdown. But the surprising part is that it's the Chinese government that actually implemented the new rules on how much leverage a company could have, and that's what caused the problems with Evergrande, because they needed more debt but had actually come up to that debt ceiling that was imposed by the Chinese government that then has caused them to start defaulting on its bond payments. And so with all of that, the big question this week has been, is Evergrande another Lehman Brothers?
Right.
And our answer to that is no, it's not. And the reason is that Lehman had a farther reach, much broader reach than Evergrande does. However, I don't want to minimize the Evergrande situation because there is a ripple effect. And what I mean by that is that, well, it's not going to have the same banking institution, financial institution carnage. The concern is that there's this contagion. The contagion would be more from China overall versus Evergrande specifically. And so the question is, if China then, as a result, goes into a recession, does it then start a global recession? And I'll tell you, Ed, this is reminiscent to me of two other periods of time, 2015, when we had the Greek debt default issue, and 2013, where we had the Chinese credit crunch. And so, and I'll say that neither of those situations caused a global recession.
Okay.
So, you know, therein lies some of the good news.
Okay. All right. Beautifully explained. And thank you for clearing that up for me. I really appreciate that. We spoke last week, and we've been speaking for a couple of weeks, actually, about the debt ceiling. More notably, a couple of weeks ago when we talked about how non-passage of the debt ceiling would be disastrous and unwise, and we didn't think it was possible, it now seems like a real possibility. Explain to us what the effects would be of not raising the debt ceiling. What would Americans expect?
Right. Well, and let me go back to Monday. The other issue on Monday was this debt ceiling issue. So there were two issues. There was the Evergrande situation and the concern about the debt ceiling not being lifted and, you know, kind of what's going on in D.C. Now, what I'll say with all of this, it's a lot of political debating going on. And so the Republicans are using the debt ceiling issue as a leverage point against the $3.5 trillion reconciliation infrastructure package. Right. And it's their only leverage. And so, you know, the debt ceiling will be raised, but the Republicans are using it as a way to moderate the final bill that comes out, the final reconciliation budget, to make it a more moderate bill. And we know we have a couple of moderate Democrats that are also pulling in for that. So the debt ceiling will be raised.
Okay.
There is no doubt that it will be raised because there's no way for the U.S. government not to pay its bills. We know that that our U.S. debt was downgraded in 2011 over similar issues. So there's no way we're not going to raise that debt ceiling limit, but there's going to be a lot of debate between now and then, and they're tying it to that infrastructure package.
So really, essentially, we're holding the military not getting paid hostage. We're kind of holding Social Security checks hostage. But you're confident that it will get raised?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have no doubt that it's going to be raised. However, I think there's going to be a lot of political, you know,
wrangling.
Yeah, that's a good word. So, but what I'll say is the other point I want to make, which were made last week, was this is a seasonal period of time where markets typically decline, and investors should be thinking about that as an opportunity to put more cash to work versus letting fear overwhelm them. And I will say that, you know, we had our Nervous Nellies clients contact us. I mean, I can always tell you who it's going to be. And those Nervous Nellie clients contacted us after Monday wondering what was going on. But we're saying this is not unexpected. We never know the catalyst of what's going to cause the markets to gyrate necessarily. I had been predicting the debt ceiling would be one of those catalysts. But now it's the debt ceiling and Evergrande. But no matter what it is, we're going to come out of this on the other side. And so we will come out of it. I don't believe that it's predicting a recession.
You know, on more than one occasion, I've been called a Nervous Nelly. On more than one occasion. So today, and it's actually at 11 o'clock this morning, we're expecting the Fed's next policy update to come out. And it's going to be followed by a press conference with Chairman Powell at 11:30 our time this morning. What are we expecting to hear?
Well, it is an exciting day when it comes to Fed policy, because I think, you know, and I've been saying this for a while, we keep waiting for the Fed to indicate some kind of change in their stance, and they've been dancing around it. And the big question is, when is tapering going to start? We don't believe that they're going to announce that tapering is starting now, and a lot of that has to do with the most recent jobs number that was not as favorable. And so, but what I do think is they're going to talk about tapering. Before it was talking about, now they're talking about tapering. We think it's going to happen at the end of the year when they actually start tapering, and that means slowing down those bond purchases that they've been making. And so I think the other interesting point about today is we're going to see the 2024 dot plot. We're going to see what we can expect going forward, and we're going to hear for the first time about interest rates and more of a clear picture. We know it's not now. Interest rates are not going up now. But is it 2022? Is it 2023? And I think we're going to hear more clarity around the interest rate picture as well.
And what we hear today, is that going to affect what we do in the fourth quarter? We're heading into the final fourth quarter, right?
We're ending the third quarter at the end of this month, and then we'll be entering the fourth quarter. And the fourth quarter is all around for investors' year-end planning. What can you do before the year end? What can you do from a tax perspective? What can you do from a charitable giving perspective? What can you do from your investment perspective? And what can you do from your financial planning perspective? So we're starting to talk to clients about year-end planning and what does that look like? And like I said, it's starting to be that charitable gifting season and investors considering what they want to do, how they want to do their gifting. Do they want to give appreciated stock? Do they want to give cash? Do they want to set up a charitable trust? So there's quite a few gifting techniques that we can help clients with.
Okay. And you're also, by the way, you're keeping an eye on October 15th, as that is the final deadline for personal income tax for 2020. Is that correct?
It is. And so if you haven't filed your 2020 taxes yet, you've got a few more weeks to get that done. And with that, if you are a sole proprietor, there still are some things that can be done. If you're a corporation, there's not much more as far as deductibility is concerned. But if you're a sole proprietor, you still have a few more weeks to make contributions into retirement plans, and that's good, and to get those income tax returns filed. And given what we know now, at least, we don't have a final picture of the infrastructure package and what the tax increases are going to be going forward, but it still offers some opportunities in this last quarter to think through what needs to be done for 2021 as well.
Okay, just a dumb question here. I know that you're always on top of things and your clients are always really super happy. Will you have any nervous Nelly clients on October 13th or 14th coming to you going, I haven't filed yet?
I don't think we will, because we pretty much help our clients make sure that they're connected with the right CPA, and we work collaboratively with that CPA on making sure that all the ducks are in a row and all the financial pieces are in place so that we don't have last-minute surprises.
That's exactly why we celebrate you on American Business Women's Day. It really is. Laureen, how do our listeners find you?
Yeah, wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
As always, thank you so much for lending clarity to our morning, and congratulations, and we celebrate you once again on American Business Women's Day.
Thank you, Ed. Have a great day.
Thank you. You as well. Laureen Gilbert with the WealthWise Moment, 8:15 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.